Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
And it's my pleasure to welcome you to CUTV News Radio live worldwide. It is 1 p.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center. It's Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. And we thank our audience all across the United States, Canada, and internationally, as we do reach a global audience, for joining us for this episode of CUTV News Radio Live. Our very special guest joining me here is Molly Shepherd of the Leader's Edge, Leaders by Design. You know, research indicates that when there are both women and men at the top of organizations, these companies are significantly more successful and profitable. Indeed, all evidence suggests there should be more co-leadership. And although we want both genders to work, of course, together successfully, women leaders face unique challenges still even today. Even if you didn't think they do, they definitely do, as they enter the executive ranks. And these challenges may either derail their development or cause them to completely leave their companies and sometimes even their career pursuits. Well, this is where Molly Shepherd comes in as the president and CEO of the Leader's Edge Leaders by Design, a firm based in Pennsylvania dedicated to providing leadership development to executive and high potential women and men to enhance their effectiveness as senior leaders. She says they've worked with thousands of women and men since their founding in 2001 and have assisted some wonderful leaders to become even better. After running a successful human resource consulting firm for some 17 years, Molly had the opportunity to sell it. Too young to retire, she wondered, you know, where she could possibly go next, what pursuits to take on. Well, in the course of her career, she had coached hundreds of women and recognized that they had different issues that confronted them in the corporate workplace than men. She looked at the stats on how women were actually doing and discovered, much to her dismay, that they weren't faring very well. Women weren't moving up the ladder in spite of their tenure and their credentials. They were encountering obstacles that prevented them from advancing in their careers. So she thought maybe this is a space where she could be helpful and do work that would be meaningful and make a real difference. So in 2001, she established the Leader's Edge to support women in building their leadership skills, increasing their confidence, and enhancing their overall effectiveness. And in 2005, the Leader's Edge merged with Leaders by Design, run by Molly's husband, Peter Dean, which addresses the leadership development needs of senior men with a slant towards helping them to understand the importance of diversity and inclusion when building and running their teams and organizations. Molly says this work is ultimately about taking control of your career with an awareness of what you need to learn and do before you get promoted and take on those risks and move faster on to new opportunities. Incredible work that they're doing, and we are so excited to welcome her to the show. And I just learned moments ago that she and I both have a PBS public television connection. I've been affiliated with PBS stations for over 30 years myself, on air as a host and behind the scenes. And she's also had a wonderful affiliation with the organization as well in public television. So it's a very small world, and we're very honored to welcome Molly Shepherd to CUTV News Radio Live. Molly, welcome to the broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and thanks for joining us on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
It is a real honor and a real pleasure. And at first, what initially inspired you to want to create the company, but also to pursue this field of endeavor, to pursue with the passion and the enthusiasm, the spirit that you have, assisting and consulting, coaching and helping others?
Jim, this is a thread that's kind of woven through my whole career. Is I've always had a passion for helping people figure things out as it relates to their careers. I've been doing consulting work in this field for 30 years. So I think it's a combination of curiosity, passion for the work, a desire to help, kind of a counseling spirit that I have inside of me, and as well as a entrepreneurial and a marketing side, which has allowed me to start a couple of companies and just enjoy the life of an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. And your company, again, as the CEO and president of the Leaders Edge, Leaders by Design, dedicated to providing leadership development to the executive and high potential women and men, enhancing their effectiveness as senior leaders. So tell us about the creation and sort of that timeline of the creation of the company and what it is you want and have been offering people that has been benefiting them so greatly over the years.
Wow, that's a big one. So I, and you mentioned this in your introductory remarks, and thank you for being so kind there. I had the opportunity to grow a pretty large consulting firm and sell it back in the late 90s. And I had a couple of year contract, which prevented me from doing almost anything I had done prior to that time. And I looked around for where I wanted to, you know, maybe place my energy and skills and experience that would be meaningful. And I kind of didn't stumble on it because I was somewhat aware of the issues and challenges that women were having because that's where I've been dedicated all these years. But I studied those statistics a little more carefully, and I found that women were really facing significant challenges and issues in the workplace where I thought I could be helpful. I went and did some very heavy-duty research to make sure that I wasn't overly biased or uninformed, and discovered after interviewing about 1,000 executives that there were some themes, and I developed a leadership development coaching protocol that I launched when I launched the company in 2001 to really help senior women get into the C-suite if that was where they wanted to go, become CEO if that's what they wanted to be. And figure out how to navigate that difficult, complex, and complicated road.
Exactly, yeah. And that's a beautiful thing that you're able to do that. What are the most important skills, would you say, from your expertise, for a woman to be really an effective leader and contributor? I'm sure there are many.
There are many, and they sometimes, the men also can benefit from some of the leadership enhancement as well in some of these areas, so they're not just germane to only women. But at the end of the day, somebody asked me a few years ago, Molly, at the end of the day, what do you think the singular issue is that might be holding women back? And I realized it was probably confidence. And maintaining confidence in difficult situations at work, women seem to have more difficulty with that than their male colleagues do. So shoring up a woman's confidence, helping her appreciate and understand how good she really is, what strengths she's really bringing to the table, where she can really make a contribution and be an effective contributor is part of the coaching work that we do, and giving a woman strategies and tactics to use when they are either confronted, bullied, or put down in some way, where they might lose it. Other areas, though, that are also pretty significant, and lots of research has been done on this, is women are not as large or big as risk takers as men are. So when a new opportunity comes up, that might be a stretch assignment or a new opportunity testing new skills. Women may not be as adventurous and risk-taking, may spend more time deliberating whether or not that's the right job, whether she can do it, whether she has the skills and experience, and only to find that a male colleague might have grabbed that job with far less skills than she had. So it's really stepping up and taking some risks. In addition, women don't seem to network as effectively as men do. We're quite good at finding babysitters and housekeepers, and we're good with our friends. But when it comes to really strategically networking with key influencers and decision makers in our companies, we may not do that as well or as frequently as men do, so we aren't as visible. And when our names come up in a talent meeting for a new assignment, unless somebody really knows who we are and what we've done, we may be overlooked. So I could go on. There are a number of critical areas that we certainly talk to. I've written a book on this, by the way, Jim, called Breaking into the Boys Club, which kind of reviews these difficult challenges and some strategies and tactics to work around them.
That book, is that available on Amazon and on your website as well?
It sure is.
Great.
It's
Breaking
a
into the
good
Boys
read.
Club. That's sort of. Yeah. What was the real? Yeah, I was going to say. I know. I want to slip this in since you mentioned it. What was your initial inspiration for writing the book? Where did you find this book was a must for people to read, absorb, and apply to their lives?
I looked around. I've always looked around for books that were helpful and meaningful in the business arena. And I wasn't finding one at the time that spoke to women and really was specific around what you could do. If you had an idea grabbed in a meeting by another individual, how do you handle that? How do you handle the political navigation of your organization? How do you enhance your communication skills? I wasn't finding anything out there, and I'd been doing this work for so long, I just figured it was time. It would be certainly helpful for my career to write a book. And it has been, and it would be helpful for the women who weren't afforded the opportunity to be coached, because the book is kind of a coaching book. It's not as good as the real thing, I don't think, but it's got a lot of answers that women can find helpful in their day-to-day work.
That's wonderful. So folks can go to the website, to Amazon as well, and look for that. Oftentimes, what happens is people are promoted into these positions of leadership, but they're not necessarily cut out to be, or they're not leaders at all. So are they people that can be helped, or does it have to be a scenario like people have always said, well, you have to be a born leader? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I don't believe that leaders are born. I think there's certainly some innate qualities that lend themselves well to inspirational leadership. One person might communicate more effectively than another. One person might be more strategically minded than another. But at the end of the day, you can learn to be a leader. And for people who've been promoted a little too quickly, and I've seen that a lot, my first company, the one I mentioned that I sold, we did a lot of executive outplacement. And many of the senior executives that were derailed in their career and found themselves to our company in transition had been promoted probably faster than they should have been, hadn't, been quite ready for the challenges facing them. So I have seen this happen, and I think there are a couple of remedies. If I were a new leader and felt over my head, I'd probably want to get a coach. And new leader integration and assimilation is something that we do at the Leader's Edge, Leaders by Design, for just that reason, because the statistics around failure for new leaders is quite high. Around 40-60% of new leaders don't make it beyond the first year in their jobs. So there's a real reason to invest in a coach. I would certainly find some mentors in the organization who could help me figure out who the decision makers are, who I need to be attentive to, what's the history behind the organization and the politics and so on. I would ask a lot of questions. I would ensure at every minute that I was aligned with my boss, that whatever he or she, you know, wanted to achieve, that I was not bucking it, either innocently or not, but that I had a business charter that was aligned with his or hers. And I would work on my learning. You know, leadership is learning, and, you know, read up and study up and do as much as I could, as quickly as I could, to get on board and at least demonstrate that that's what I wanted to do.
That's fantastic.
Being a leader.
Right. Yeah. So some of the reasons why a company would ask you to help them, is it a question of skills or an inability maybe to integrate authentic female leadership into a corporate structure?
I think the reason why companies ask Leaders Edge, Leaders by Design, in to help either with their women, which is a singular focus of ours, but also to bring leadership development to their men as well, is because they're frustrated. They haven't been able to increase their numbers of women at the top significantly. I just was speaking with a company this morning that just can't get its senior leaders, female senior leaders, over 14%. And, you know, there are many industries that are struggling with this. So they're bringing us in to either work with somebody, a female who's very talented, who they want to retain, but they want to make sure she has every possible advantage to do that in a very male culture, or she may just need to tweak or enhance some of her leadership skills to just get her over the, you know, the bridge there. So, and they may also invite us to do programming for women at the director level or even at the manager level to give them the skills and understanding of leadership so that they're prepared when the opportunity strikes. But to build that talent pool and to build that pipeline is a critical issue for the companies that really care about diversity and inclusion. Now, not all companies have prioritized that as a top priority. So, but with the ones who are committed to it, they're working very hard to do what they need to do internally to help women get on the slates for new jobs and be considered, you know, with full appreciation of what they can bring, as well as to recruit women. And, you know, they walk the talk. There are a couple that I can think of that I'm really proud of.
Mm. That is fantastic. You know, it seems like your clients have the first part of the equation, which is that they're being proactive, obviously, and doing that just by reaching out to you makes them proactive in your organization. Are they consciously aware of some of the gender issues we've been discussing, or is it sometimes a shock to the system for them?
I think this whole issue of gender and unconscious bias is pretty new. So I don't think most people have a full understanding of what that means. And unconscious bias is a big, big factor in all of this. You know, you could be a very well-meaning boss and really want to, you know, help in every way to bring a woman along, but at the end of the day, if you have a really, you know, risky opportunity that, you know, you need a strong leader for, you might be more comfortable going with a man, and you're not even aware of it. Another place where that can play is when you're hiring somebody, and we tend to hire people and want to be around people who look and act like us, which doesn't really add a lot of value when you're growing a company and developing strategy and new products and all that. But if you're comfortable with somebody who's not going to, you know, be different and add different commentary and ideas, then you could lean towards a man if you're a man and not even realize again what you're doing. So it's pretty significant. And but what is interesting is once you become aware of unconscious bias that resides within you, and you care about it, you know, you can just through that awareness, you can begin to confront it. You can push yourself. When I'm interviewing somebody who's different from me, instead of, you know, looking for commonality, I look for those differences and try to explore whether they'll actually add value to my organization. So it's exploring the richness that exists within differences instead of leaning towards someone who's just like me and will think like me and do what I say and never talk back and all that. That's just not going to lead to good results at the end of the day.
Exactly,
but
right.
This is a new one. This gender bias.
Yeah,
it's one that still needs a lot of work.
Yeah, I guess we're up against the paradigm that a tall, just a stereotypical vision that has been painted of this tall, lean white man in a suit is the natural leader. So that is changing, and how do we all collectively work to change it, but not necessarily eliminate it, incorporate everybody into the game collectively and equally, so everybody gets a fair shot, everybody participates in corporate culture, in leadership, in influencing and working with others and building a team?
Well, let's begin with the paradigm. So many of us do think that, a white man in a suit is maybe a natural leader. And that's reinforced by the fact that 94% of the top jobs are held by men. And, our advertising and our news and, everything kind of continues to build up that paradigm. But, what we really want to focus in is on the behaviors of a leader. And, are they exhibiting the right behaviors and characteristics and qualities of a leader? So we do need to see more women in the C-suite, and we do need to see more women on boards. These numbers that I was faced with in 2001, Jim, haven't changed significantly in the years that I've been working on this issue. It's just been a very, very slow, turtle-like change in the numbers. And I do think that we are close to a tipping point. We've got 50% of our workforce is women. Women have been around since World War II, so they've got lots of tenure. They've got lots of credentials. We are aspirational and want to lead. We like our salaries. We like our jobs. We, are fully invested. We're kind of bunched up in the middle of the pyramid and queued up as well, though, to enter into more senior roles. So we need to push that further. And it begins at the top. Again, if the CEO of an organization is not committed to this, is not really explaining and talking to his or her leaders about the importance of having diversity on their teams so that they have different ways of looking at something and not just stuck in an old paradigm. If they don't see this world as a global world where we're all interacting around the world and we need to represent our constituents with those same faces on our teams, if they don't get it and they don't see the value of it, then it's not going to happen. And the most recently research indicates that companies that do have more men and women in the tops of their organizations do like between 25 and 30% better on return on investment, return on equity. They're just more profitable. So we have to pay attention to that. What does that mean? It means that women and people who are different, and it's not just women, but people of different races and backgrounds and so on, are adding value, not just detracting from it. So back to the leader, the leader has got to be committed. He or she's got to be pushing her or his leaders to think differently about hiring and promotions and team building, and then demonstrated himself or herself. The board of the company needs to look different. The C-suite of that company needs to look different and demonstrate that, you know, parity is a top priority. That will help retain women who are in that company because they'll see that there's opportunity for growth, and that will add to their recruiting efforts. I mean, women are top talent out there, and we're going to need more top intellectual talent as time goes on. So they can't be ignored.
Exactly,
Dr. Waxon,
right.
About this, but
right, exactly. So what are the fundamental differences, would you say, between female leadership and male leadership that you've observed over the years? One would think that a woman maybe should be able to transfer her natural leadership skills into the workplace and be effective and successful by being herself, but it isn't always the case. So what is impeding the clients from understanding and maybe supporting this?
Well, there's some real biological differences between men and women. And Peter Dean, who you mentioned, my partner, has a master's degree in brain hemisphericity. I barely pronounce it. The brains of the female and the male are quite different. So the female brain, the two hemispheres, the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere, are connected through the corpus callosum, which is a kind of a rich band of fibers. And in the woman's brain, that is thicker. Wider, so that the women can tap into both their right and left brains more quickly than most men. Most men have a thinner corpus callosum and stay more fixed in their left brain, which is the logical, linear, get it done, you know, side of the, it's kind of the IQ side of the brain. The right side is the more EQ, which is the creative side, the kind of strategic thinking side, the side that looks at all possibilities and effects on customers and that kind of thing. And the woman is looking through both those hemispheres at a problem or a strategy or a discussion. So what does that mean? That means that in a meeting where something's being discussed, a woman may ask more questions about why the company wants to go in that direction and what will its short-term and long-term effect be on the customer, and you know, really looking in a much broader way at the effect and the results of a decision, whereas the men in the meeting, because they want to get it done and are more impatient to move quickly, may feel frustrated by that. So there's this natural kind of dynamic going on that can make it more difficult or challenging.
Exactly.
But if the end of result is that you have a better decision made, and I think of the whistleblowers over the years. If you think about Enron as an example, that tragedy, that was a woman who saw that something was going on offshore that wasn't quite right, and she raised the alarm a couple of times and no one paid any attention to her. And as a result, that company tanked completely and took thousands of people down.
Yeah.
So
really awful situation.
Listening to that voice. So we can talk longer. We can provide more context. We can ask more questions. We're driving as women more towards collaboration and consensus. That can just take longer.
Yeah. We've just got a few seconds left, but what would be one of the first things a woman can do today to improve their leadership skills just within themselves?
I would say step up and speak up. You know, really, we do have natural skills, our ability to listen and empathize and attend to others. We want these jobs. We feel we have the right experience for them. So to really ask for it, to pay attention to our communications, make sure that people are hearing our voice, that we're not going on too long, we're not rambling, we're concise. Our drive towards collaboration means we also have to make decisions better and more and faster, and get a coach, you know, really get some feedback. How are you being perceived as a leader? And what is it you can do to enhance the perception of you in the organization? That's kind of a quick answer.
And yeah. We want to make sure that folks know the website too, leaders-edge.com. Again, leaders-edge.com. We're speaking today with Molly Shepherd, President and CEO of the Leaders Edge, Leaders by Design, works with clients internationally as well as nationally, and can work with you and your organization, regardless of the size and the scope and what it is that you do. She can work with you. Years of success, knowledge, compassion, and a wonderful way of thinking and perspective that has helped so many. And of course, do not forget to go to Amazon or her website to check out her book as well. Give us the title of that book again, Molly.
My book is Breaking into the Boys Club, and I want to mention that I also wrote with Peter The Bullyproof Workplace, Essential Strategies, Tips, and Scripts for Dealing with the Office Sociopath, and that also is on Amazon.
I think a book everybody should have, because there's always one in every office.
There certainly is.
So that
is
that can actually work in many aspects of life beyond the office.
That's true.
It was a delight, a joy, and a pleasure speaking with you, Molly. And I hope we get a chance to explore some more, maybe even have some testimonials on air or what have you. But thanks for everything you're doing. It's so relevant. It's so important and impactful and vital. And appreciate your being with us and sharing your time with us on CUTV News Radio Live so far today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you today.
You as well, Molly. You take care. You have a wonderful rest of your day. Folks, I do encourage you to connect with Molly Shepherd and her team by going to leaders-edge.com. For all of us here, Jim Master is thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, thanks for being with us on this episode of CUTV News Radio Live. Stay tuned. More great episodes coming up throughout the day. Till then, for all of us here, thanks for being with us. You have a terrific day.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.